Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
Tired of trying diet after diet without results? Mochi Health offers a long-term weight loss solution personalized to your needs. Our board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians provide expert guidance to help you succeed. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medication at an affordable set price delivered monthly. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 for $40 off your first month. That's joinmochi.com.
Sam, taking you to jungle land. Bengals pride, it fills the air. Every week we're always there. Touchdowns, tackles, all the plays. Bengals roar in every way. Stories, news, and game recaps. Jungle juice, we bridge those gaps. Welcome to the Jungle Juice. Nick and Sam, let's break it loose. Cincinnati, hear our call. Bengals fans, unite us all.
Welcome in to this week's edition of the Jungle Juice Podcast. I'm Sam Gormley. He's Mick Nelson. Mick, how you doing?
Doing good. Just another day in paradise here. How about yourself?
Good. It was nice because, you know, we've been over this before that I work from home. So there are days since I work from home that I don't always go outside because I don't necessarily have a need to. But most days I try to at least go out and check the mail. And it was nice when I walked out there that I didn't have to like wear a jacket. Like it was kind of nice here. At least it was like in the mid 50s today. And that was really nice. And I wish that it would stay that way.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pleasant out this morning for me. It was like 45 degrees out.
Isn't it funny, though, that we're now at saying pleasant is 45 degrees? Like, it's just like we finally we're at that point of winter where it's like, yes, 45 degrees. That feels awesome. Let's break out the shorts and let's start going swimming or something.
It's shorts and t-shirt weather for me, man.
But yet, if that would happen in middle of November, we'd be out there in our heavy jackets, heavy coats, and gloves, and so on. It's just kind of funny how the human body does that. Coming up on the show today, it is the, well, it's the T. Higgins Show. We're going to hit
We've made it thus far.
We have.
It's been five seasons.
Five seasons of T. Higgins. So today we're going to update the headlines, but our main topic is going to be all in T. Higgins. And the discussion point of whether the Bengals should re-sign him or shouldn't re-sign him, and we're going to dive into both aspects of that decision because there's a lot of reasons the Bengals should re-sign T. Higgins. And if we're being honest, there are some reasons why the Bengals shouldn't re-sign T. Higgins. And we're going to go all the way into all of those on today's show. But first, we invite you to follow us on our social media channels. We are on Facebook. We're on YouTube. We're also on your favorite podcasting platform. Make sure you subscribe. Give us a five-star rating. Isn't that what everybody says? Like all of those different things so people can find the show and spread the word of the good old Jungle Juice. But first, let's hit some of the headlines from this week. Last week, we talked a lot about it, but we can at least talk a little bit more about it today. The Al Golden decision became official last Thursday. They had a press conference earlier this week where him and Zach Taylor sat down. They talked a lot about what he's going to stand for, what he's looking for, and so on. But I think it's good at least that the decision has been made and now we're not having any speculation anymore. And I know we talked a lot more about it last week, but it's good to have it out of the way.
Yep. It's good to have it out of the way. I watched the press conference, I think last night. And I mean, you can see why a lot of guys like Al Golden in what he brings to the table. Seems like a really nice, good personality around the franchise. Seems like a good culture fit at the very least.
He's a guy that you'd want to have a beer with. You know, like he just seems like a really cool guy to have. There's a lot of guys like that in the
NFL. I was going to say, there's so many people I'd love to have a beer with. Might not be doing it justice, but he seems like.
You wouldn't have had a beer with Frank Pollock.
I would have a beer with Lou.
Yeah, well, yeah, Lou probably you'd want to party with his family.
I think a more exclusive list is like people I wouldn't want to have a beer with, like Russell Wilson.
He might drink in O'Doul's.
He probably don't even drink caffeine.
Yeah, probably not. But the main coaching hire that has happened since we talked last is Mike Hodges is the Bengals' new linebacker coach. And I mentioned this, I think, last week on the show. I find it hilarious when fans, like the name Mike Hodges came out. Oh, they blew it again. Can't believe they have this. Thanks, Robert. Yeah, Robert, we'd have some beers with you as well. Absolutely. We'd do that.
Thanks,
yeah, I do. It's like Mike Hodges. I've never heard of that guy. He's awful. I mean, like I think I made the point to you last week. How many offensive line coaches can you name in the NFL? And I think, you named three or something? How many linebackers coaches, if you're being honest, could you have named in the NFL?
Shit.
In all seriousness,
I really don't know.
If you're being honest with yourself, if I would have asked you in the middle of October who the Bengals linebacker coach is, would you have been able to tell me it was James Betcher?
Yeah. Also, does his son go to Oregon?
James Betcher's son?
Yeah, because there's a until recently, because I think he went back for another season. There was a guy named Bryce Betcher. That plays for Oregon and plays line. Actually, I'm gonna look that up.
Google. But Hodges comes from the Saints. He'd been there for a long time. He'd been an assistant linebackers coach. Got promoted to the linebackers coach. I mean, these hires. I mean, I don't know. Like it's tough for us to react to it because is Mike Hodges a good linebacker coach? I don't know. You don't know. Nobody really knows except for these guys that really know the game and really know linebacker play. But as long as he gets along with Al Golden and so on, it is, a good move.
I'll tell you what. I mean, at least he's got good experience doing it. You know, was with the Saints for 6 years as a linebackers coach. 5 years. He's the assistant linebackers coach in 2019. So he's there. Total of 6 seasons. That's quite a bit of experience. He must be doing something right to not be let go for 6 years. Learned under Dennis Allen, who we all think is a good defensive coach. Yeah, I'd take this guy just based off of those two pieces of information.
Yeah, so I'm intrigued as to how it'll go along. The sad news came out yesterday. Eric Hall will miss the entirety of the 2025 season. When they went in and did the surgery, the long story short, and Mick, I'm not going to even try to become a medical expert on this show because you know I'm the furthest thing from that. But I guess when they did the surgery for his knee when he injured it in college, I guess they didn't do as great of a job, and they're having to do it again because they didn't do as great of a job. I think that's the way I understand with it. So Eric Hall is going to miss the entire 2025 season, and that just hurts.
Did they have the Chargers team doctors doing his?
That's right. I forgot about
first
that.
Surgery.
I forgot about that. Yeah, was that the guy that punctured the lung, right?
Yeah, but it was like a training staff, not necessarily like doctors. That was a bad joke, but that sucks for Eric Hall.
Because he had been playing really well. Over those couple of weeks leading in.
I won't say really well, but...
For a fourth-round tight end that you had really no expectations for, I think
he played okay. He was good. I mean, he started... I think he had starting caliber, like low-end starting caliber play out of a tight end, which for a fourth round pick coming off of an ACL surgery, like what more can you really ask for? I think like this year, if he was able to get through this season unscathed, I think next year was probably going to be like the coming out party for Eric All. And it just has not worked out for him. Now he gets all of 2025, you know, he has all of 2025 to rehab this thing. That means he's got ample amount of time to be ready for 2026, which now you got to wonder, what are the Bengals going to do at the tight end position going forward?
Yeah, because I think you are the Mike Gesicki, whether you are going to re-sign him or not. I think that percentage of whether you're going to re-sign him went up a little bit with that injury to Eric Hall. I know that Mike Gesicki and Eric Hall aren't necessarily the same kind of player, because really Mike Gesicki is probably more of a tight end wide receiver hybrid. It's probably the best way to describe him. But I think that just putting bodies in that room, because clearly from what it sounds like, Tanner McLaughlin didn't do enough to impress. So really you're left with Drew Sample and Tanner Hudson, and Tanner Hudson's a free agent too. So Tanner McLaughlin. Yeah. Yeah. I said he's the guy that hasn't necessarily lived up to expectations. Okay. It sounds like. So then you're looking at Cam Grandy having a big role. So I think that it'll be interesting to see the fallout.
Cam Grandy could be the new Tanner Hudson. Here's my thing, though. It's definitely becoming a need. And here's the thing. I mean, we're going to talk about the T decision here for the next probably 45 minutes. You're not going to be able to extend both T. Higgins and Mike Gesicki. I don't think that is possible. I think Mike Gesicki's value is probably shot up since the season. You know, the Bengals, the Joe Burrow effect on tight end, on the one-year rentals. We've seen it happen with C.J. Uzomah. He wasn't a one-year rental, but the one good year he had, he was out the door. Same with Hayden Hurst. If you're only going to be able to keep one of those two guys, so does it become a priority in the draft? I mean, you need to have, I mean, right now, I think four tight ends on the roster is what I would deem as a necessary amount at that position. You want to have some guys there locked up for more than just a one-year rental, right? So do you go and look for a guy in round four, round five again? Do you try and find the free agent, the next one-year rental wonder? Do you trade for Kyle Pitts, because that's what everybody thinks we're going to do, apparently? It's fascinating to see what's going to happen here. I haven't even looked at any names. Are they going to go get Zach Ertz?
You got Conklin, who's a free agent. That's potentially a name. We'll talk about free agents and so on as it goes along. But it'll just be interesting to see the fallout from this Eric All injury for sure. NFL Honor finalists came out as well. Joe Burrow, finalist for MVP, Offensive Player of the Year, and Comeback Player of the Year. I mean, he'll win Comeback Player of the Year running away. I can't imagine. I mean, it's weird that Sam Darnold is even in there in the conversation, because apparently they've changed the rules back to say really Comeback Player of the Year is when you're coming back from injury. Yeah, it's not most improved. So it's you're coming back from injury, and Sam Darnold has not been hurt other than maybe his ego.
We should really have a most improved award.
And there have been some talks. I think Paul Daner Jr. was the one that said that needs to happen, and I agreed with him completely that we need some other aspect when it comes to that. Chase, a finalist for Offensive Player of the Year. I think any other year he wins it, but Saquon will probably win Offensive Player of the Year, and it's hard to disagree with that. But Chase should finish second, and I bet he'll get some first place votes, and they will be deserved for Offensive Player of the Year. And Trey Hendrickson, a finalist for Defensive Player of the Year, and that I'm fascinated by how that vote goes. Fascinated, because he's got a legit shot. I don't know that he will win it, but he might, and I'm intrigued by if he will or not.
Yeah, it's not like there's like a clear-cut Defensive Player of the Year this season like there was. Definitely like there was last year, Myles Garrett.
I don't even think that there's like a top two, like an Offensive Player of the Year where it's Chase and Saquon. Like where you've got you could maybe say Hendrickson and Surtain as the top two, but I mean, Garrett, you know, he's a finalist.
I saw that TJ Watt had the best odds. Am I incorrect?
Really? Really? I don't even know that I saw the odds with it, but I'm intrigued. That'll be coming up next Thursday, I think, is when the awards ceremony is. Will you watch?
No.
I watch usually because that's when they announce the Hall of Fame, and I just want to see Willie Anderson walk out on stage. So I might be watching next week, but actually, no, I won't, because I am going to be broadcasting a basketball game next week. So no, I will not. I lied. Are you looking at the odds right now? I haven't even seen it.
I'm trying to figure out where Trey Hendrickson's on here. Defensive Player of the Year finalists: Zach Bond, Miles Garrett, Trey Hendrickson, Pat Surtain. So I think, I don't think I got a good sight here. Let's see. Trey Hendrickson is third after TJ Watt and Pat Surtain. Pat Surtain's minus 550, TJ Watt plus 140, Trey Hendrickson plus 850.
Interesting. Interesting.
And then Zach Bond and Miles Garrett have pretty much no shot.
But both had great seasons. No question about that. All righty. Let's jump into our big topic of the week. And it's surrounding one player this week, Mick, and that is the one, number five, T. Higgins. T. Higgins is about to become a free agent unless the Bengals decide that they want to tag him again or tag and trade, sign him to an extension, or let him walk in free agency. Just to go T here by the numbers, if you're listening with us today, you've watched T. Higgins probably for the last 5 years, so you probably don't need us to say most of these things, but here they are. Yeah. In his career, 361 catches for just over 5,000 yards, 37 touchdowns. You know, in 2024, he had career highs in touchdowns, his career high PFF grade, his career high in missed tackles force, and he had lows in drops. And then I also found it interesting is a low and average depth of target, which I know that's a stat I believe you like, right?
Yeah.
I'm just looking at receivers.
Yeah, just to elaborate more on that. I mean, I've talked all season ad nauseum about how T. Higgins' role has evolved within the offense. I mean, his deep pass rate was by far the lowest rate of his career. These are passes that go more than 20 yards down the field. In years past, he's usually high teens, like anywhere between 15 and 20. This year was all the way down to 10%. And then you saw the his short yardage target rate, that's passes within 10 yards down the field, but definitely his highest mark of his career. And then he also saw highs in the medium passing game as well. So we've just seen his role evolve in this offense. And I think it was all the better, honestly, that that we got this version of T. Higgins and that Zach Taylor and Dan Pitcher carved out this role for him, essentially.
He had 14 contested catches this year, which was good for 17th in the league, which you're saying, okay, 17th, that's not bad.
And that's only
He played at least three games less than everyone ahead of him. So the next lowest was somebody, I don't even remember who it was, who played 15 games, and T. Higgins played 12. I mean, those are unbelievable numbers for T. Higgins this year in that statistic just alone. But to me, here's the biggest stat, and the stat that matters more than any other one that we're going to mention today. This year, in games T. Higgins played, the Cincinnati Bengals were 8-4. In games he did not play, they were, what is that, Mick? 1-4.
1-4. Yeah, this is a point that I also made.
Last year, 7-5. In games he played. So what does that make it? 2-3 in games he didn't play.
Yeah. So I filtered out last year's games as to whether Burrow was playing or not. Not necessarily. I didn't really count the games with Browning because I felt like that was kind of irrelevant. So, I mean, if you take the Burrow splits out of it, I think it was This
he
is good
what?
Broadcasting.
Six or seven games, eight games was how many Burrow missed last season.
He had eight games with Burrow and went 4-4 in those eight games. Now, four of those games were the calf injury. So that's a disclaimer. At least three of those were a calf injury games. So that's a quick disclaimer with that. Now, career wide for Joe Burrow while being with T. Higgins. His record is 33-22 with T. Higgins, and it's a 5-6 record without T. Higgins. That's me filtering out the Baltimore game where Joe Burrow got hurt and the Commanders game where Joe Burrow also got hurt. So these are games that Joe Burrow ended up finishing the game. But if you take out last year, I mean, it is a 4-2 record without T. And we can talk about these four losses as much as we want, but only one of those losses was the offense just not getting going at all. And in a situation where they definitely should have. I mean, the Eagles game, I kind of put an asterisk next to that because of how good the Eagles defense has been this year. It's been by far the best defense in the league. I don't know how much of a difference T really could have made, but you look at the Kansas City game, we saw good offense that entire game for the most part. The first Ravens game, or no, not the first, the second Ravens game. What did we hang up? 34 points on the Ravens defense. Yep. Joe Burrow absolutely airs out. Ja'Marr Chase run, you know, goes for 250 in three touchdowns. And then the Raiders game, I mean, wasn't the best offensive game, but also was the Raiders defense, and I would assume that they just weren't giving that much out there. It's just you kind of just gotta look at these four losses under a microscope, in my opinion, as to would T have really made any of a difference in how the offense performed? And maybe you can make an argument for two of those games.
Yes, and I think that argument is you could make it strong, especially in Kansas City. And I think in a couple of those games, and I went through the statistics. In fact, I want to come back to that. I want to come back to that because I think that fits better in when we're talking about they should or they shouldn't when we go through. Let's talk about salary here for T. Higgins, because this is the interesting part. And I see a couple of people here, like Morgan asks, do I think T takes less than 30 a year? Josh says 3 years, 85 for T. Higgins. Robert says he thinks there's a way you can structure all three of these guys' contracts to keep the trio together. So Spot Rack has him projected, and they're not perfect, but it's at least a ballpark through it. They have him projected at $25.4 million a year for his contract. 4 years for $102 million is what they're projecting. Now, if I'm the Cincinnati Bengals and T. Higgins will sign that deal, I say, okay, let's do it right now. Like, I feel like that would be a good deal. Now, what they're going to get hung up on is in that deal is, okay, of that $102 million, we already know what the conversation's going to be about, is how much of that is guaranteed money.
And that is, that's a huge question mark. Like, the salary cap doesn't really matter. I think I've come to...
To the Bengals, it does.
But I mean, we talk about the salary cap as a whole. Just because you get salary cap doesn't mean you're just going to sign players. Just because you have the cap space. You have to have the cash in order to offer all these guarantees and the contracts. The Bengals are notoriously known for not necessarily giving the most amount of guaranteed money. They're notorious for front-loading contracts. I mean, it's a whole nother game that they're trying to play here.
In their history, they've really given only two players a large amount of guaranteed money. Joe Burrow and Orlando Brown Jr. Mm-hmm. Now, Joe Burrow, I think could have went into Mike Brown's office and said, I want my face to be on the helmets. And Mike Brown would have had to have said yes. Because I mean, Joe Burrow held all of the cards in that aspect. And Orlando Brown Jr. fit a need. Bengals needed offensive line because they were protecting the guy that you're giving all that guaranteed money to. But other than that, the Bengals really have not given out a lot of guaranteed money consistently throughout the years. Until this offseason, when you know they're going to give it to number one. Well, we hope that they'll give it to Ja'Marr Chase. And then the question comes around for T. Higgins and what that contract would look like. 4 years, 102. Are you on board with that if you're T. Higgins?
Here's my, if I'm T. Higgins, maybe, I don't know. I mean, I've heard teams approximately valuing him around $30 million. this offseason. There's a lot of wide receiver needy teams out here that are going to offer, I think, a higher mark than that $25 million. Hell, you look at Jalen Waddle's annual average value of his contract. That's at $28 million. And I honestly think T is probably a better receiver than what Jalen Waddle is.
Without question, yeah.
Devontae Smith is on valued at a little over 25. I think it was 25.4 million average annual value. So if you're 102, that's about 26 million a year. So it's a little bit higher than Devontae Smith's number. I just don't know if I don't think T would take that right now, especially with all these other teams potentially offering him wide receiver one money. And I mean, that's wide receiver one money for a lot of teams. But if you look at teams like the Eagles, like the Dolphins, it's really just those two teams with, you know, number one wide receivers that are essentially their number two.
If you look statistically, and this is not a perfect statistical comparison, but the one receiver that is at least statistically somewhat similar to T that has had a recent contract signed.
Mike Williams.
I was going to say AJ Brown.
Okay.
Statistically, they're pretty similar when you look just based on pure stats. AJ Brown was 3 for 96, which is an average annual value of $32 million. And that is where it is, where you're going to have to run into the question that we're going to talk about right now. And I think it's perfect for us to just lead right into it of, is this the right decision for the Cincinnati Bengals? We're going to take off, like, we've got our Bengals hats on and we're going to have it on, but at the same time, we're going to take it off and we're going to try and look at this as objectively as possible. Because I think it's important, because that's what the Bengals are going to have to do over these next, because here's the fact. They have to make this decision in the next month. Maybe 6 weeks, because what's free agency, like the 12th of March or 10th or whatever it is, you know, in that second week in March, right after Selection Sunday, because that's just like the greatest sports week of the year. You have Selection Sunday, NFL free agency, first weekend of March Madness. I am the most unproductive at work that week as I possibly can be, but you can't be, because you actually have to be productive that week at work.
Unfortunately.
But let's go ahead and just jump into this, and let's start with the question of the Bengals should extend T. Higgins.
Everyone's talking about AI these days, right? This season on Compiler, we're diving deep into how AI is reshaping the world we live in. Join us for a new season of Compiler, an original podcast from Red Hat. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance, but if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride.
Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
Let's go through the reasons why they should. And for me, I think you go on and you look at what he played last season. And he played like an elite wide receiver when he was on the field. If you want to use PFF grades, and that's just what I did because that's just one example of how you do it, and I think it can at least do a decent job of taking some of the injuries out and just saying you're on the field production, what was it? He was the sixth highest PFF grade in a qualifying wide receiver because I threw out some guys that had, you know, three catches. Like, you're not in there, mm-hmm. which I did find it funny that the contested catch percentage, which is just a PFF stat, and I'm getting off topic here. The Bengals leader in contested catch percentage was Kendrick Pryor, which was just funny. I was like, oh, that's right.
He had one contested catch.
It was just really funny. I was like, oh, that's hilarious, because I saw him at the top of the rankings. But he was behind Puka Nacua, really good wide receiver. Nico Collins, really good wide receiver. A.J. Brown, really good wide receiver. Amon-Ra St. Brown, yeah, he's pretty good. And then a future Hall of Famer in Mike Evans. Really good. That's just for you. I just said that. No, that's an inside joke of sorts. But still, regardless of how you feel about those, that is five receivers ahead of him who are darn good.
Yeah.
And he was number six, ahead of guys like Justin Jefferson, ahead of guys like Ja'Marr Chase. Now, there are extenuating circumstances, of course, in those guys. Based on when it comes to PFF grades, Ja'Marr gets bumped a little bit because of a couple of drops. He had more drops than T, and so on. But if you're using that as a qualifier, he played like one of the best in the NFL last season.
Yeah. I think the most important reason for keeping T. Higgins in the pro column, pro signing T. Higgins, is that it makes your quarterback very happy. And all I care about is making Joe Burrow happy. You know, the Bengals should be honestly so scared of the potential Carson Palmer situation happening, because it happened. You should be doing everything you can to avoid a situation like that where your quarterback, no longer your star quarterback, best quarterback we may have ever seen play for this franchise, if he's not happy, if he loses confidence in your ability to build a winning roster around him, that's inexcusable.
Especially when you already kind of ticked off his best friend by not getting his contract done last offseason. And Ja'Marr Chase.
So yeah, and also, I mean, maybe Ja'Marr Chase is kind of jumping the gun on this whole contract extension situation. His buddy Justin Jefferson had to wait until that last year in order to get his.
Tell you what, Ja'Marr's gonna be okay that he waited. He's gonna get paid a lot more money now that he waited.
So I guess the most important reason for me, if it makes Joe Burrow happy and he wants it, I'd do it in a heartbeat if it's what Joe Burrow really wants you to do.
Here's one of my biggest reasons for this, and it's this simple: what other choice do they have? And here's why I say this is, okay, you're looking at, you have three avenues to replace T. Higgins if he leaves. Three avenues. And I want to go through each of these three right now. The first one is internal. An internal replacement to promote and be wide receiver two. Andre Yoshibash. Yeah, I love Yoshi, but I think the way I've described him, I think is pretty accurate. He is what fans think Trenton Irwin was. Mm-hmm. He's a wide receiver four. And if Yoshi is your wide receiver four, you are in a great position. If he's your wide receiver three, I think you're even okay. He can't be your wide receiver two unless he just takes the biggest third-year jump that we've seen in a while. Okay, check, cross him off. Jermaine Burton.
He won't be on the team.
that was the hope. That was the hope, that Jermaine Burton would be the guy, and then you could easily make the decision to move on. That didn't work. We've been over that plenty of times. And I put this as an internal replacement. I know technically this wouldn't fit in there. It might be more in the next position group. Is Mike Gesicki. I just threw him in there because and he's kind of internal, kind of not, because he's technically a free agent. Mike Gesicki's not T. Higgins. He's not T. Higgins.
No.
Okay. So the next option is free agency. If they go to free agency, you're almost assuredly not paying top dollar for a wide receiver. Because if you're going to pay top dollar, you're just going to re-sign T. Higgins. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking at a couple of the wide receivers right now. Darius Slayton, I know, is a name that you've mentioned a couple of times over the last couple of weeks. Now, if you want to look at grading-wise, he's coming off one of his worst seasons. Had 7 drops, 12th highest drop percentage in the league last year. Now, how much of that is Darius Slayton and how much of that is who the hell he had playing quarterback? Okay, another wide receiver, because I'm looking at the list earlier. DJ Chark? God. but I'm trying to find a guy that could be somewhat like... And I'm not, I feel like I'm going to like have to.
I mean, it's really just Darius Slayton and that's it. Like Elijah Moore. Like that doesn't really do it for me. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine.
You're leading into my example there. There's not a lot out there right there. And then the last one is the draft. So just a couple of names, and we're going to be talking about the draft ad nauseum over the next, 3 months. Luther Burden was a guy I know that in one of the more recent mock drafts that I read earlier today, I don't remember whose it was. I think it might have been Daniel Jeremiah from NFL.com. He had Luther Burden to the Bengals at 17. Luther Burden's not T. Higgins, though. Luther Burden would be more of your Jamar Chase of a average side receiver. Yeah, I think he's listed at 5'11", maybe 5'10".
Yeah, he's more, like you said, he's more of the yak guy, the explosive play guy.
I love Luther Burden. I love that guy.
He's my favorite receiver in this draft.
Without question.
Not even close.
And if he's called at 17, I'd hope that they'd fix the defense, but I'm going to be like, oh boy, that's another weapon for Joe Burrow.
Part of me would be a little worried about it just because, like, I know we've seen it work with the Dolphins offense, just having a bunch of speedsters at wide receiver, just making explosive plays, but like, you don't have that security blanket guy unless if you go and get Mike Gesicki back. But like, you know, and I know that everybody's going to say that Tetero, like McMillan is kind of along those lines of your traditional X receiver, your type or your T type of receiver. But honestly, when I look at the film of T-Mac, there's just a lot that there's a lot to be desired, at least from the film that I've watched from him. He just does not look as strong as T. Higgins after the catch. Yeah, he's got strong hands, but the dude's just getting laid out every time he gets tackled.
And he's going to be off the board by the time the Bengals pick at 17.
Potentially. I don't know. I think a combine statistic. I think his combine's going to be bad enough for him to drop down some spots. If he participates in the combine, he might just forego it at this point. But then you even look at mid-round wide receivers, like guys like Jaden Higgins.
Yeah, that was exactly a name that I had.
With the new Higgins.
and I mean, he fits more in the T. Higgins realm of being a big-bodied guy. He went to Iowa State, transferred from, do you know this? I'm going to put you on the spot. Where did Jaden Higgins start his college career?
I have no idea.
Eastern Kentucky.
Really?
And transferred to Iowa State. Savion Williams, another bigger body guy from TCU. Probably a second round pick. Maybe you get him in the third, something like that. But those are a couple of the names that you'd be looking to roll the dice and hope you hit another Higgins.
Yeah. And you're still looking for wide receiver regardless of whether 100%, you signed
D. Because Jermaine Burton didn't work.
No. And you still want that wide receiver three. Like you said, Andre Yoshivash isn't a wide receiver three, at least for us, in what we've seen on tape the first 2 years. So, I mean, you're looking at wide receiver probably in the middle rounds regardless. But is it going to be, you know, I guess with keeping T, if you don't keep T, you're definitely looking a lot earlier than that potentially, depending on what's available on the board.
Hair thinning can happen for so many reasons. Whether it's stress or hormones or anything, at Nutrafol, we've learned that real change starts below the surface. Our hair growth supplements take a whole body approach and target the key root causes of hair thinning, so you can see visibly thicker, stronger hair in 3 to 6 months.
Hair growth starts from the inside at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com.
And I think that was kind of to wrap up my point here is what other choice they have. Internal, you have no options to replace T. Higgins. Free agency, there are really no options to replace T. Higgins unless there's some surprise cut around the NFL. But even then, I don't see anything like that. So that means you're going to have to rely on a rookie receiver to fill a massive role on this team next season. A team that has Super Bowl hopes, Super Bowl expectations leading into next season. And I don't know whether this team can afford to do that. Now, you might think it's a slam dunk with a guy like I'm just putting Luther Burden out there just because he was on this list here. And I know he's not T. Higgins, but let's just say you might think it's a slam dunk with Luther Burden. Maybe it's not. You know, that's the one risk that you always have in the draft. So that's where I think they don't really maybe have any other choice but to pay T. Higgins right now.
Yeah.
Do you have any other reasons as to why they should?
Yeah, I think we should jump to the other side of the argument.
And something tells me that we're both going to have this same topic on here. And I've got stats. You ready for some T. Higgins stats? And I think you know exactly where I'm going to head with this. Can he stay healthy? Can he stay healthy? So you ready for the stats here for T. Higgins? In 2024, the Cincinnati Bengals offense took 1,136 snaps. What percent was T. Higgins on the field this year, Mick? Do you know off the top of your head?
60%.
55.9.
Okay.
55.9. Last season, he was on the field for 52.7%. This is 2023, sorry. 52.7. 2022, 71.1. 2021, 69.5. 2020, his first year, was about 75%. In his Bengals career, there have been just under 6,000 offensive snaps. He's been on the field for 65.2% of those snaps. The last 2 years, though, only 54.3% of the snaps. And that's just the question of, can you afford to, let's just use a lump number here of $30 million, just for sake of conversation. Can you afford to pay somebody $30 million to play just a little over half your snaps?
You can, but you probably shouldn't. you really shouldn't. And that's where the second half of the argument kind of comes in for me is that this is an if you re-sign T and Jamar, this is an unprecedented amount of money you are spending on the wide receiver position. You only have two teams in recent memory that have spent anywhere close to this on two wide receivers.
And one of them's in the Super Bowl.
One of them's in the Super Bowl because they have, in my opinion, the greatest GM in the league. And then one of them has no roster other than Tua Tagovailoa, Tyreek Hill, and Jalen Waddle. If you look at the team needs the Dolphins have, they have starter needs, medium and high starter needs.
Achan, right?
Everywhere else on the roster that's not a skill position player, and that is not sustainable.
Yeah. They got a cool head coach, though, right?
I do like me some Mike McDaniel. He's a good coach.
Robert asks, how much of that was play calling? I'm not sure what you're asking. How many of the snap percentage was play calling? This is, I mean, Zach Kittle.
If you even look at total games, I think the bigger question is like the total games that he's played rather than the amount of snaps that he played, because I do agree with Robert's opinion here that, you know, how much of it is the game plan and you don't have T. Higgins in and certain personnel packages and whatnot. So let me get that pulled up real quick.
Yeah, I mean, so this year he missed 5 games. Last year he missed 4 games, I think is what it was, or was it more than that? I mean, he has consistently missed games over these last couple of seasons. And that is a problem when you're wanting to pay somebody that much money.
So T. Higgins had the potential to play in 84 games. So that's 16 games in 2020 and then 17 games, 2021 through 2024. T. Higgins has played in 62 games, which is about 74% of the games.
Okay. So there's another example of
that. Oh, wait, 70. Actually, my bad. 70 games out of 84 games, which is 83% of the games. I was looking at game starts for the 62 number. But 24 games out of how much? 34 games the past 2 seasons. I mean, that is a significant drop off from that 80-some percent number that I just mentioned. I mean, that's about 70% of the games that he played in.
And that's kind of where I have 2 points with this. Is your first one is, what have you done for me lately? And listen, he has been unbelievable when he's on the field. But the second point is what's your best ability, Mick? Availability.
Mm-hmm.
Your best ability is availability. And I love T. Higgins. Love T. Higgins. If we're being honest, he's one of the best wide receivers in Bengals history. He is. But we have to talk about that. Robert says, but you have to consider how many times he went over the middle and took brutal hits. Yeah, but you also have to think of what were his injuries this year? Soft tissue that happened the Friday before a big game in practice.
Yeah. Now, I guess there is some question to be asked how much of this was T being extra cautious because of the contract situation that he was in this season. Was he a little more unwilling to risk it in a game this year because of the contract situation? And he didn't want to aggravate these soft tissue injuries any further, thus jeopardizing the amount of money he's expected to receive this offseason. So that's another thing to kind of think about in this whole contract situation that they're going to be doing in the next month.
Let's talk about this as well. And you've touched on this a couple of times as well, Mick. Is can you really pay all three? Can you really? Yeah. So, I mean, let's talk about Ja'Marr Chase's contract, because this ties in. If we're using SpotTrack's numbers, projecting him around 4 years, $145 million, which is around $36.5 million per year. I think that's pretty accurate as to what it'll be. But even if you want to bump it up to 40, that means that just Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase have roughly a little, you know, around $90 million of your cap. You know, between 90 and $100 million. Of your cap. And, you know, the Burrow restructure, that's a conversation for another day as to what that could potentially look like. The cap next
that's
year.
Above I think our pay grade. Yeah, to figure out what his restructure would free up.
Exactly. I think, what are they predicting the cap at? $274 million, I think, maybe, next year? Give or take. Mm-hmm. Something in that realm. So let's just say that you're throwing another aspect into T. Higgins. Of $30 million. We'll just say that. You're saying three players have roughly half of your cap for next year. Is that financially smart when you look at the biggest problem on your team is the defense, and you have got holes up, down, left, and right on that defense that you need to fill?
Exactly. That's the exact point you got to bring up here. And Riley brought it up, I think, just a few minutes ago in the comment section, where the Bengals have not necessarily, and I think that was the plan all along the past 3 years, right? Was rebuild the defense through the draft. You've got a young defense all on rookie contracts. You can just constantly rotate these pieces in and out. And you can extend all three of these guys. You can extend Joe, you can extend Jamar, and you can extend T, and it'll all work itself out. Problem is, nobody on the defensive side of the ball is a franchise cornerstone piece. Yeah, you had a defensive player of the year candidate in Trey Hendrickson this season, who by all means had a fantastic season, the best season of his career. You can't say enough about how great of a season he had. On the other hand, he's not a franchise cornerstone player because we don't know how long he is
next year
for the Cincinnati Bengals. And the Bengals aren't going to be willing to offer him what he wants, even if he does play on this last season of his deal, which I think we all think that he's not going to do.
To me, it's this simple, I think. Your decision is this. Who do you want in the 2025 Cincinnati Bengals? Trey Hendrickson or T. Higgins? I don't think you can have both.
In an ideal world, you move on from T and Trey plays out on this deal. If you're asking me to pick who to resign between those two, I'd be picking T. I'm not sure if either of them are long for the Bengals, just given the money situation that's involved here.
And I mean, the Trey Hendrickson contract, we talked about that a lot last week, or the Trey Hendrickson, whether they should trade him or not. And I did some more reading into that, and the trade that at least made me perk up a little bit was Von Miller. What, 2-3 years ago? When he got traded from the Broncos to the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
And the Rams gave up a second and a third round pick. And if a team's willing to do that, I'm signing up.
Yeah, so it was the Von Miller recent. It was a mid-season trade, though, right?
I think it might have been.
So, yes. We're not sure how much of the timing of that trade had to do with
desperation.
Because if I remember correctly, didn't the Rams have an edge rushing injury at some point during that 21 season?
Here, I'm pulling up the article on it while we're talking here to see if it says anything. He had been hurt here, so it goes along. But that was just one example of with it going. And let's be real. What ended up happening for the Rams that year is, well, we don't need to talk about it. We don't need to talk about what happened that year with them.
What do you think we're doing here?
Because I think you see the pros and cons to both sides of this. I think, but first, before we say, what do we think? What do we think they should do?
Yeah, it's a double-edged sort of a question there. I mean, it really is. It's because part of me thinks, oh, they should do it because Joe Burrow wants it. You give that man whatever the hell he wants. But you shouldn't do it because, as I've said before, this is an unprecedented amount of money you're concentrating into the wide receiver position. Even more unprecedented than the Eagles and Dolphins situations, because at least DeVonta Smith signed for $25 million a year Jalen Waddle's right around 28, 29 million. So that might be the better mark to look at. But also, the Dolphins aren't a great model for, you know, how they've built their roster, really. I mean, they don't, like I said, they've had a whole lot of holes on their roster that they've got to fill. And they had a whole lot last year as well.
I think they need to do it. I think they need to do it. For one, what is the Cincinnati Bengals team surround? What are they good at? When you think of the Cincinnati Bengals as a team, what do you think of?
You think of the passing raid, attack. It's an air raid offense.
Think of the passing attack. So what should you do to a passing attack offense? You should give it as many weapons as you can. And to me, the point that scared me the most is the one that I made of who the hell else is there? If Jermaine Burton even would have been meh this year, if Jermaine Burton would have had the year that Andre Yoshivash had, I think you're feeling better. And I don't know that you bring him back. But because he gave you nothing, I guess he didn't give us nothing. He did have, what, four catches?
Next to nothing.
Yeah. And a casino night and a couple of inactives and so on. You have no choice if you're the Bengals. Whether you want to or not, T. Higgins holds all the cards in this situation. And I think you have to.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still pretty 50-50 on this as to whether they should or they shouldn't. You also got to think, hey, you've got one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and he's a guy that elevates his wide receivers.
Can he elevate Darius Slayton?
Oh yeah, yes, he can elevate Darius Slayton. Yes, he can, and we've seen Darius Slayton have good years with dog shit quarterback play.
And that is what I'm interested at too, is, you know, do you sign, let's just for example, saying T. Higgins or Milton Williams?
Just
an example, as a interior defensive lineman, which is a big need on this team.
Yeah, Milton Williams isn't demanding the amount of money that T. Higgins contract.
Well, I mean, Milton Williams is going to be $20 million probably.
That's still a potentially $10 million.
But you understand what I'm saying.
$10 million difference. That's a huge difference.
Well, we're saying T'd maybe be 25 or something. But still, you're making these decisions. Okay, we'll say Milton Williams and a guard.
Yeah, I'd take Milton Williams and the guard
over T. Higgins.
Yeah.
So, but see, that's the discussion points that the Bengals are going to have.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they are. They're going to have these in a month.
And they already are having
it. Yeah, and it's – I just don't know. It might be roster management or malpractice to be locking up that much money in three players. And that's something the Bengals don't do.
What do they do?
I think they're going to disappoint the hell out of Joe Burrow. And T. Higgins is probably going to sign elsewhere for $30+ million a year. And if it was $25 million a year, that'd be a lot easier to stomach and a lot easier to work out. But given the scarcity of the wide receiver position in this free agency class, $26 million average a year that SpotRack has is not a realistic number.
Do you then tag and trade?
No, that's just disrespect. You can't tag a player 2 years in a row. That's bullshit.
You can.
Yeah, that's shitty.
I'm not asking if you're going to trade him, then why the hell does it matter?
You're trading him for nothing, essentially. Though we saw the L'Jarius Sneed trade this past year. You got what, a third round pick out of him?
Isn't that what you get as a compensatory pick?
I don't think the Bengals are shitty enough to do that.
I think you do in that case. It's business.
Well, that puts you on the same level as the Steelers owner, buddy.
I mean, you are trying to find the way to make your team better next year. And if you're not going to re-sign him, then you want to try and get a third round pick in the future. Or and if you tag and trade, you could probably get a third round pick for this year's draft and maybe get a Jaden Higgins. Higgins might be gone by the third round, but just an example of something like that, where you're trying to make this team better, whereas the compensatory pick will happen in the 2026 NFL draft.
Yeah, that also sends a message to agents to not work with the Bengals.
And I don't know. I mean, these are just the discussion points that are needing to be had. And I really don't know what it'll do, but I think they need to re-sign him. And you're saying they should not.
If it makes Joe Burrow happy, fine, do it. But from a roster management perspective, and you have as many holes on the defense as you have and on the offensive line, and you got a lot of starters who are not going to be on this team in a year or two, I don't think it's a very smart move to do. No.
It'll be fascinating to see how it comes up, though, because there are pros and cons to both sides.
Yep. As we just laid out.
As we did. We now get to move further into off-season discussion. As it goes along, I know we're going to have some mock draft season as well coming up in these next couple of weeks. We get to dive into free agency some more as well, because that is coming up very shortly. I'm sure this won't be the last time we talk about the T. Higgins decision, because until it happens, we will be talking about it. For me, it would hurt me if he goes somewhere in the AFC North.
I don't think he'd do that. I don't think he'd do us that.
The one that I saw earlier today, that a team apparently, and again, this is all just fan driven stuff, was, and at least would make somewhat sense, is New England. But then.
Yeah, we've heard New England. We've heard Green Bay. We've heard. Take that off. That's just.
No, it's got to stay up there a little bit. Duh. I thought he was talking to you. I know what he's saying now. Okay. I get it. I thought that was calling you the cheapskate. Oh, that's not you.
No. You've seen me. I liberally spend money like nobody's business.
You do. Even in Madden, you take it a little bit serious.
Bullshit. Well, no, I'm conservative in Madden. That
you take it serious, though. That's what I'm saying.
Well, no, I have a system for how I do things in Madden.
Yes.
Like, you look at me, I'm buying like 1 year rental players in Madden like every year. I'm pulling a Texans or a Commanders, what they did this year,
and nearly taking the Raiders to the promised land. Right.
Yep.
We'll continue more into the off-season discussion next week on the show as well. Remember to follow us on our social media channels for Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, on your favorite podcasting platform as well. Any parting thoughts? Well, I guess, are you going to watch the Pro Bowl on Sunday? Sunday?
Did we get any news if Joe Burrow's participating in the Pro Bowl game?
The Bengals tweeted something and he was tagged in said post. So I'm assuming
if Joe Burrow's participating, I will actually watch Pro Bowl games this year.
Mick wears his goggles on the Madden bench. Yes, he does. While he plays Madden, he wears his goggles.
Yep. I just want to bring it up that you can congratulate me for being right, and I'm going to have to pull up the podcast episode when we predicted the season, and then we kind of went to what our Super Bowl pick was. But I did pick Eagles over Chiefs, so we're here.
I think I had Niners. I think I had a rematch, Niners Chiefs, because I didn't think the Niners were going to have everybody get hurt.
Yeah, I kind of need people to be healthy, but yeah,
that does usually help.
Eagles Chiefs this year.
We'll talk more about that next week too on our picks, but I felt
We'll have to find the clip that way we could confirm that I was right. But I'm pretty sure I picked the Eagles Chiefs.
I thought you picked like Jaguars Cardinals.
No, what? No,
you were very high on the Jaguars going into the season.
No, I wasn't.
You were quite the opposite.
No,
quite the opposite. You did predict the Jaguars to be.
I was high on the Commanders. Look where they went.
You were. I don't think you were. You didn't expect them to go that high, but
probably not NFC Championship game, but definitely potentially winning the NFC East, which the Eagles ended up doing. And I think I picked the Eagles anyways. But yeah, definitely picked them to make the playoffs this year.
We'll talk more about the Super Bowl next week. We'll make our picks. the dark magic is still there for that team in Missouri.
Oh, Jesus.
What?
That team in Missouri.
That team in Missouri. I mean, they are. That team is – Mick does love Trevor Lawrence.
Robert, I will bet against the Chiefs as often as I can until these guys are firmly not Super Bowl champions, because I'm tired of watching it. Sandwiches winning the Mac. Oh, yeah, we got
the sandwiches. Yeah. People have no idea what he's talking about. I kind of just want to leave it there. I just want people to think Riley is
– so. For all of you that watch, Sam and I are part of a connected college football dynasty. Mine is the South Harmon Institute of Technology Sandwiches, which is based off of a movie otherwise known as the Shit Sandwiches. And Sam recreated the Florence Freedom
as a college football team.
I think next year, when the next season in this dynasty, we're going to have to show some shots, some highlight reels from our match in the Jungle Juice Bowl.
Well, the Jungle Juice Bowl will probably happen next season. I think the ADs are in discussion on whether
We already accepted them.
No, Florence still has some requirements on our end that we are going to demand prior to said matchup.
So do you want a shit sandwich?
We need to replace the.
I'll give you a shit sandwich if you want it. That's what we're known for. It's our bread and.
Oh, it. Lisa, it absolutely is a nerd convention. It absolutely is a nerd convention. 100%.
Yeah, these guys are all on a Minecraft server, too. I'm not participating in that. But
you didn't. Zach, at least I'm not playing in the triangle next year, if you know what I'm saying. On that note, we'll see you next week on next week's edition of Jungle Juice. Mick, you're not in the triangle. I'm not in the triangle. Someone might be in the triangle, but it's not us. Have a good week. We'll see you next week.
Is it this guy?
It might be. It might be. Good day, Mick.
Good day. Thanks for watching.
O'Reilly. Check engine light on. Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.